Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Tanner from TMNBaseballFan.com, and man, let me tell you, there's been a lot of ups and downs recently. I feel like I start off by saying that a lot, but it's true. And it's kind of fun because I've been making this kind of, I don't know, up and down journey in collecting, where, back in 2013, 2014. As I fixed my eyes on, being like a Kinseiko Super Collector, I started off by having this question, am I a super collector? That was a big thing. I think it is for a lot of people that are starting out, can I be considered a super collector now? What about now? I bought more. How about now? And and so eventually it just was something that kind of spiraled and ultimately where I said, okay, time for me to, kind of step away from this thing. Sold most of everything, 99% of everything, came back, and I ultimately found my sweet spot, my happy place. The cards that are more typically high-end in nature, where we end up keeping, I end up keeping like a lot of like one of each kind of special card. At least that's what I try. That's what I keep saying over and over again. I know. But what I did recently is I started picking up a few other cards. They're not high end, and I don't know if it's that I've gotten bored of just high end stuff, or maybe that well has kind of run dry, so to speak, in terms of what excites me. Because if you only limit yourself to one of each type of card, or maybe a few in some instances, and you have the majority of the cards that you want from the time periods that you collect, what do? Right? So I think that's kind of where I found myself. I found myself in a position where I'm looking through the 90s cards. Like my main cards that I look for are the super rare inserts and parallels of the 90s and 2000s. And the super rare high-end cards that have insane patches or other memorabilia pieces from 2000s to present. So that leaves a good pool to collect from, but it also really kind of weeds out a lot of white noise, so to speak. So for me, and it's funny, I actually just had somebody ask me that today ago. They said that, hey, do you have a 87 Topps Tiffany Kinseiko? I said, no, I used to have one, but not anymore. I really kind of go after the high-end stuff. And the guy goes, wait, that's not high-end enough for you? And I was thinking, well, no, not anywhere near. I don't really have much of a desire to own a Tiffany, a Topps Tiffany card. And I think part of it is because I know it's always available. There's always one out there, that you can get for pretty cheap, which interestingly enough, prices have climbed. I think a raw copy has sold for like a little less than $10, which, is crazy to me. To think that that card would get even 10 bucks. A PSA 9, I think, hit $40 recently after I looked at, which, I'm thinking, man, it's insane. But in any event, yeah, it's certainly significantly rarer than a regular 87 Topps. I think it's probably a, oh, I don't know. I think they had a print run of 10,000 or 15,000. I don't remember what it was for the Tiffany sets in 87, but it was something like that. So it was high, significantly high, but not a drop in the bucket compared to the regular one, the regular Topps. So, anyways, it also weeds out cards, especially that they're cranking out now. One of one parallels of everything. They're just autographs. I don't have an interest in those, especially not Leaf, because they make literally hundreds of them each year. The idea of having a one of one is to have a special piece that nobody else has. Well, if you're a card company that's pushing out hundreds of them each year, it loses its appeal, loses its specialness. Now, for me personally, that has not spilled over to all card companies. It's been kind of like compartmentalized to Leaf into the past couple years, but still not something I'm really a big fan of. I get it. So I'll say this, I'm not a big fan of it as a collector. As a card company, you know, maybe it makes a whole lot of sense. There's got to be a reason they're doing it, right? They're not producing cards to keep the integrity of the hobby from a collector standpoint. They exist solely to make money. So they have clearly found a way to do that. But unfortunately, for this collector, it doesn't really appeal to me, which is really a shame because, like, one of my absolute favorite cards is the Leaf card from, like, you know, several years ago, 7-8 years ago or so. But yeah, nowadays, like, and don't get me wrong, they've got some cool designs now. Like Leaf, I used to really dislike the designs so much to the point where I wouldn't touch them because of the designs. Nowadays, they have some really cool, interesting designed pieces that they're doing. But problem is there's just so many one of ones. And also, if that wasn't enough, they have out of twos, out of threes, out of fours, out of fives. And yeah, I'm just, I don't know, I'm just not feeling that. But when it comes to like tops, even if there's like a, you know, gold label, which I don't think they do gold labels anymore, or, you know, museum or whatever, if they have a one of one card that's just an autograph, that's regular, like not the wood framed ones or anything like that, but like the regular ones, just don't have any interest. So there's a big pool for me to jump in. However, what happens when you get to the point where you have your eyes set on, okay, I'm going to get a 96 Mirror Gold, 97 Totally Certified Platinum, 98 Crusade, 99 Brilliance, 99 Starry Nine, the Essential Credentials, this, that, and the other. Then all of a sudden, you don't have any more cards to really hunt for in the 90s. And same with the 2000s. Now, there are a few stragglers, of course. I don't have everything, far from it. But as far as the cards I want, it's starting to trickle down to where I already have the majority of the ones I want the most. And the ones that I still want aren't necessarily the ones I want the most, but they're just the hardest ones to get, if that makes sense. So it's kind of a hard deal. Now, when you go to the cards of today, superfractors, barrels, knobs, buttons, I have almost like, for me, a definitive copy of every single one of those, like the ones that I want the most. The button, and I still want an autographed knob at some point down the road. I don't have one of those, but I have my favorite non-autographed knob. I have my favorite non-autographed barrel. I have my favorite autographed barrel, my favorite superfractor, maybe my favorite wood card. I have like all these cards already. So the question was, what do I do now? Like, what's if I have all of these categories satisfied, so to speak, and not just satisfied, but satisfied to the point where they're my favorites of his that have been made, what do I do? So what I found myself doing is going back and picking up the some more lower mid-range cards. And I'll give you some examples here. I don't know if it was born out of being bored or if it was just because of how I missed out on that big deal that I was you know, kind of complaining to you about the last time. Maybe it's a little both, because I was so excited to get these other low to mid-range cards. And, you know, plot twist, a lot of these quote-unquote low-range cards are like going for quite a bit more money now, which is unfortunate. That's the bummer of something wherever you end up selling something pre-COVID. And when you come back to buy it back post-COVID, it's like a lot more. So such is the case with several of Canseco's refractor cards. So that's the bad thing. It's like, oh, if only I kept those. Now, the good thing is this, is that the excitement does not wane. It does not go down from the first time you picked it up to the second time you pick it up, for me personally. As an example, I picked up some 2001, I think they're 2001 and 2002, I think that's right, Topps Chrome Refractor cards of Kenseiko. And I haven't had them for a few years. And over these few years, I've seen them go from like, you know, $10 or, you know, $5 or $10 each to like $40 to $70 each. And yeah, that's frustrating because guess what? If I kept them, I wouldn't have had to have dealt with paying the, you know, the insane prices that they go for now. Now, with that said, two things. Number one, if I want to sell them again, I'll get the higher price that I could, that I could now. But number two, if I kept them, I would not have the excitement of having them. I was able to gain that excitement of getting them again. And let me tell you, I really enjoy the heck out of these cards. These are not like high-end cards or whatever. But as I said, they do go for, you know, significantly more than they used to. And man, it's just been fun getting them back. I kept them on my desk just to look at them throughout the day. And if I did not sell, they'd just be in a box and I probably wouldn't have looked at them, you know, that much again later until it was time to sell again. So it's kind of fun dipping your toe back in to different realms of collecting that you haven't done for quite a while. Even if the prices have gone up quite a bit for two reasons. Number one, like I said, you could probably resell to get your money back, even at the higher price. But number two, you just can't buy that excitement of that amazing mail day, you know, like the cards that get you excited all over again. I've had certain cards come back to my collection two, three, four times, maybe five for some of them, but definitely two, three, and four times, and it never gets old. Whenever you get that card back in, it's like, ah, yes. It's really kind of a neat deal. It's a fun thing to be able to experience. And one of the great highs of our collection, if I'm being honest. So really kind of a neat deal there. So, and you know, it kind of breaks from the norm of my collection. I had a goal to set out, you know, I'm going to get these 90s cards and, you know, these 2000s cards and then one of each of these types of different types of cards. But it's like, yeah, nobody just like walks away and says, okay, I'm done. I'm satisfied with this, right? You know, you have to, you know, move it around and do different things and everything. So in this season of collecting for me, it is continuing to look for the ones I'm missing, but also to continue to dive back into those lower and mid-range cards. And really just the ones that I enjoy. And it's really kind of taking me to a place where I explored before, which is really looking at these cards and not caring what other people say about them or how rare and amazing other people think they are, but what I think about them. One of them in particular, I think it was called the Home Run Chronicles from SP Authentic. I believe it's a 98, if I remember correctly, 98, 99. It's numbered at 70, never comes up for sale. Die cut, it's got some great holographic foil usage, which is really cool too. You know, I really kind of enjoy that. And I sold it, and it's one of those cards where I'm like, why did I sell it? And I go, I know I sold it. I sold it because it wasn't quote unquote high end enough for me at the time. So now that I ended up picking up again, I enjoy it so much more now. I just think it's just the coolest card ever. So, that might be a stretch. Maybe not the coolest card ever, but a cool card. So, but I like those. I'm also looking at some of these other cards that I've sold in the past, and I'm like, okay, I've got to keep an eye out for this one, this one, this one, this one. And the problem is that some of them, I'm like, oh gosh, like, why did that card sell for $100? That was $10 a while ago, you know? So, kind of funny how that works out, but that's just how it goes. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to continue to look. And if I find a good deal on some, I'll get them. But there's no pressure. It's just, it's fun. It's fun to collect. So that's kind of my challenge to you is to look at your collection and say, hey, look, is there some chiseling down that you need to do, or are there other areas of collecting that you might want to explore now and rediscover you haven't touched for a while? So while you're at it, here's another challenge. I sent this to some of my close friends who are also Conseco collectors. And the question was this. Let's say the apocalypse happened or whatever happens, right? Most all of the cards are destroyed. Most everything's destroyed. And so what you have now is you have cards that are basically worthless no matter what they are. What three cards in your collection, and I would love to hear from you about this also, what three cards in your collection would you keep regardless of value, so that way you can, you know, keeping your collection as just a three card collection and show to others and tell people stories about them or whatever. I think that was kind of a fun little exercise, and I came up with three myself, and I found that a lot of it had to do with stories, with what stories they told. So what I did was I picked the 97 Totally Certified Platinum, just basically the story behind it of where it came from, who I got it from, how it came into my collection, how it left my collection, came back, and all of that for sure. But the cherry on top is, you guys, it's just like basically the perfect, most perfect looking card ever. So, you know, it's really, really, really beautiful. In fact, I don't think necessarily any other 90s card out there, I don't think, can really touch it. There's some that come close and some that might actually dethrone that from time to time, depending on what day it is for me. But in my eyes, the 97 Pinnacle Totally Certified Platinum for Conseco is just perfect. Perfect in schlag, as it were. The next one is the 2003 Flair Sweet Swatches. It's a 1981 World Series patch. It's a jumbo card. The card itself, as far as design goes, not anything I really am excited about. I don't like the size. I don't like the design. But what I do like is the patch. Like, there's not a better patch that I can get a piece of than the 89 World Series patch, because that's my childhood, you guys. Like, I like that. That's the pinnacle of my childhood, was 89 World Series. I loved it so much. It's kind of what capitalized my desire and excitement for baseball. You know, was my favorite team, led by my favorite player, winning it all. It was incredible, an exhilarating feeling. And to think that I have a card that has a patch that was on my hero's shoulder during the most monumental series of my life, you know, that's something really, really special to me. I really like that. So the last one is really my latest high-end pickup, which is a Top Sterling autograph barrel. Now, you guys, like, this is hands down my favorite barrel card of Conseco that's ever been made. Like, I've had tons of these things. This wins by a landslide. And the reason why I like it so much and I would pick it in my top three is because, number one, of its beauty. It's just a really gorgeous card. Topps did a great job. Number two, the barrel quality. It's got its name, the nameplate on there, and it's nice and fills up the area. The relic hole there, and it's autographed, so he doesn't have too terribly many autographed barrels out there, but the fact that I could have a card that really kind of tells the story of my favorite player, like, it was held in his hand to be signed, and on top of that, it features a massive piece of weaponry that he used to kind of become, at one point in his life, the greatest player on the planet, which is really kind of a fun thing to have encapsulated in one card. So those would be my three as far as Conseco cards go. So that might be a fun little exercise for you to go through with your collection and to talk to your friends about and ask them what they would do. I love talking baseball cards, you guys. Like, I love being able to go to friends and ask what their favorites are and, you know, consider trades and all that. And it's just my favorite. So anyway, so that is, that's basically kind of what's been going on in my neck of the woods over here. Also, feel free to, you know, keep checking out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/TanManBaseballFan, my Facebook, my Instagram, TanManBaseballFan. I have got a number of incredible custom cards on deck. I've got a quad autograph Harlem Globetrotters booklet that I've created, one of the autographs of which is Wilt Chamberlain. I think I have the Beatles coming up. I've got a Jackie Robinson booklet I did. I'm going to be showing soon Tupac Shakur, Elvis Presley, James Dean, Ted Williams, a lot of heavy hitters, you guys. Like, and I'm really enjoying this. I'm really loving some of these cards here. I'm really loving all of them, actually. So yeah, keep an eye on my Instagram, my Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all that sort of thing. And feel free to, as always, reach out to me if you are interested in having anything done. And by the way, since baseball season's here, it's a good time to check out my book, Confessions of a Baseball Card Addict. It is available on Amazon for $10, I think, or $3 for the ebook. And you can also listen to me reading it to you for free on my YouTube channel. Again, that's youtube.com/TanManBaseballFan. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. And until next time, thank you. That was a weird way to end, wasn't it? Yeah.